Burke Reel 3.
Any other kinds of offences, common offences and punishments whilst we're talking about this subject?
No, I can't remember any for the moment, I don't think.
No, all right. One thing which interests me is that it seems that senior boys had a good deal of authority if it came to beating the juniors.
Mm-hmm.
Is my impression right? Did they have a great deal
Yes, they did, and you stood in great, well, not awe, just fear of them. If you saw them, I mean, you turned and went the other way, and they did. They had a lot of authority.
Did they exploit that very much?
Some of them did. I mean, some of them were real bullies. Others did it. Others did it in as part of their authority, you see, to meet it with what they call justice. Mm.
I wonder if you could explain to me what the difference was between the official authority which they had and the unofficial which they might take on to themselves.
Well, only they'd get you in the hold probably at night, you see, if you were in, make you sing and or do things you didn't want to, and take your trousers down and, you know, make you feel embarrassed and roar with laughing, and just walk away. Mm. More or less like the Teddy Boys or the Hell's Angels today, I should say, but there was no means of you, reporting it and that, because you would have a worse time, and I don't think you would have got much sympathy from the officers.
As you yourself became a more senior boy, did you regard it as sort of permissible to lord it over the juniors a bit?
Oh, yes, one did the same thing to himself when about your third term. Yeah.
Can we talk a bit about shipboard routine? I'm interested in what the activities of the normal day might be, and I wonder if we could go through these stage by stage with you giving me as many details as you can remember. We kind of talked about this before, and you explained to me that the first procedure of the day was lash and stow. Could you tell me what this involved?
Well, lash and stow was lashing and stowing of hammocks and taking them from whatever deck you slept on down to the hold, because nobody slept in the hold and all the hammocks were stowed in the hold. After that...
What time of the day would that be?
Oh, about 6 o'clock.
About six. Did that activity have any problems attached to it? Were there ever any difficulties or...?
Well, everybody's trying to get down a very narrow hatchway or ladder, whatever you like to call it, into the hold. And therefore, that restricted you sometimes for being quick. And you were duly punished, as I've said so before.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, then you rushed to the washing place where you washed.
What was the washing place like?
Well, it was just a long table with taps every now and again and galvanized basins and cold water.
And what was the scene there during the
wash period? One mad rush, and if you... sometimes you only had time to swill your face because a bigger boy pushed you out of the way, you see. But that was it. Was sort of getting you were used to it, so you didn't mind anyhow. It was so cold, you didn't mind if you didn't wash, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then by the time you got back and rolled up that and put it away, and you dressed, and of course your dress was that of a midshipman of... darkness, a new dress, and then you had to get up, the pipe went for you to get up onto the main deck. You got up and fell in your allotted position, nine at a table.
And so on.
Dressed as quickly as possible, you dressed as cadets, like your naval cadets today. And then you'd get up onto the pipe would go, and you'd get up onto the main deck to your allotted place where you stood. And that's an order from the officer on duty, You would stretch up and produce a table from above, lower it, and two hooks went into the side of the ship, and a leg folded down, which made the table static.
This was your mess?
This was your mess. Mm-hmm. Well, then there was a messman for the day, and he went to the galley, which was the forward, and produced whatever was going, a piece of very overcooked bacon and slabs of bread and marmalade. Not jam, not butter. You didn't have that. If you had marmalade, you had bread and marmalade. And a little bit of bacon. Probably another day it might be a sausage. And another day it might be porridge. But immediately that was finished, it was your job as the mess orderly to take it all back to the galley. And if you spilt anything, your name was taken by a main topman, whose duty was to keep the upper deck absolutely spotless. And you, in your spare time on a Thursday or Saturday afternoon, Wednesday or Saturday afternoon rather, were made to scrub part of the deck, which to me seemed thoroughly clean. It wasn't necessarily the part where you'd spilt a drop of tea or drop of porridge, but that was your punishment, and you scrubbed this deck for as long as they told you.
Could you tell me a bit more about the scene at breakfast? You said how they pulled the tables down, but was this a bit of a hassle as well, in the same way as washing was? Everyone was sort of fighting for a limited amount of...
No, because there were only nine at a table, you see, and in the galley where the cooks were, they put nine portions out on a dish, and nine plates, and nine lumps of bread, and enough marmalade, they thought, for nine. But the head boy at the top of your table, he dished out the things, you see, and they, on the whole, they were fairly fair. But if you were at the bottom, there were only four each side of the table, but if you were fourth on the left side or fourth on the right, sometimes you were short of a bit of marmalade, and you ate dried bread.
Now, what time would you normally finish breakfast?
Oh, six, about, well, just after seven, I think.
I see. And the next period of the day, I think, told me, was cleaning.
Well, that was cleaning decks. Now, we used to help clean the lower deck. And there were big metal staunchions. Well, you had emery paper, and you clean those, and then you had a burnisher, which was like chain mail, and you rub that up and down until you could practically see in this thing. And all the cutlasses had to be cleaned, and the deck swabbed.
What was the method of cleaning the deck?
With a swab, or a brush, and a swab to get up the thing. But it ran into the scuppers, you see, and out over the side of the ship. No deck is absolutely level. It always slopes towards the side of the ship, you see. So you squeegeed these things down, you see. Yes, and immediately that finished, you went down and cleaned your shoes and made yourself respectable for...
Before we leave the question of cleaning, did you have any special clothes for cleaning?
No.
You didn't?
No.
What about supervision and inspection of the work? Would that be fairly
that
critical?
That was done by the petty officers, your own, like, boys, senior boys, you see. Of course, walking around were the able seamen and the master-at-arms who said, that's not done very well. And you would have to give it an extra rub, you see. And when that was finished, as I say, you returned to all the buckets and the swabs and the squeegees, and that were returned to the place where they were kept, where they were, I can't think now. And then you got down to your deck to clean yourself up for divisions. Divisions, everybody in the ship who wasn't in the sick bay attended. Down on the port side, down the main side, and on the quarter deck was the captain and the padre and his officers. And you'd have the prayers, and when they were over, he would turn to his, well, I suppose, the equivalent of an adjutant in a battalion and ask if there was any defaulters or anything, and if there weren't, you dismissed. And you went down to the deck again, collected your books and exercise books from your chest, and proceeded to where you knew that your master would be waiting you, that part of the thing where...
This was for classes?
Yes.
And they would occupy quite a substantial part of the day?
Yes,
well... What kind of classes did you get?
Just the same as if you were in a school, or any school that you were sent to, if you were a civilian, you see. They taught you geography, history, English, mathematics. But on top of that, we had seamanship. Now, seamanship was the sailors teaching you the ropes you might need, necessary, like the Turk's head and splicing, running, bowling, and those sort of things. I can't do any of them now, but there you are. And that was it. We also had...
Did seamanship involve nothing but knots?
Yeah, for us, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Then we also had engineering classes. Now, they were up near the boiler house where there was a proper shed on the upper deck, which had lathes and that sort of thing, and we were taught all this sort of thing for marine engineering, you see. And we were also responsible at certain times during our classes to firing the boiler. I think it was called firing the boiler. You had to learn how to take one of these long rods and get the clinker away and then get all the flame evenly in the whole boiler, and then the art was not just shoveling the coal in, but spreading it. Now, the thing was, the boiler, the opening was only about 2 feet, 2 feet long, and it was oval shape, and it might have been a foot high. And you had to stand back with this shovel and shovel it in at the back, or in the middle, or in the front, or obliquely right and left, so as to make a whole covering. And that's an art you learnt, because the coal went further and the boiler heated the water quicker that way. Well, that was one thing. Another of our jobs, which the mercantile marine boys didn't do, we were in charge of the pinnace. Now, when any of the officers... or the matron or the officer's wife went, they always went in the pinnace, if possible. And we would man the pinnace, three boys and an able seaman to see we didn't drown ourselves and muck up the pinnace. Mm-hmm. One boy acted as the bowman when he had the long boat hook, which he held on to the ship or the jetty. Then there was the boy who sat in the little cockpit, and he was responsible for firing the steam pinnace, and there was the coxswain. And the coxswain was the one who was supposed to be in charge of the thing, although the petty officer was there to do anything in case anything went wrong, really. And we used to take, it was only about a quarter of a mile, but there was a very strong tides ran there, and you couldn't leave the ship and make straight for the jetty if the tide was going out. You had to... make as if you were going halfway up, because the tide would carry you down. Well, then we'd see the wife on, and if the able seaman was nice chap, he'd allow you to run up the 60 yards up this floating thing so that you could buy a bar of chocolate or something. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did marine engineering evolve any other things?
No.
Right. I see. Well, that deals with classes. Your next break, I think you said, would be about 12:30.
Yes.
What was the scene for lunch? Was it the same kind of arrangement as
exactly
breakfast?
Exactly the same for breakfast and exactly the same for tea, except that you went and you got a big pan full of stew. It was mostly stew we had. I can't remember. It was always stew, I think. And you'd rush and you'd get that and put it in at the top of the table, and the boy would serve it out. And it was an extraordinary thing. There was never any second helpings. It was always just enough to serve the nine of you. And then the orderly messman, if it was me, we'd have to collect that, and you'd run. There might be plum duff or something equally stodgy and filling. And that was it. Well, then you'd go the same procedure of putting away the tables and be dismissed and get down to your next duties. The same thing happened at tea. The tea was just bread and butter, but you were given bread.